This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Cigna says business is booming.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. U.S. House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Dave Camps, the Republican from Michigan, said today his panel has no plans to push through a GOP proposal that would privatize Medicare for future retirees. Well, the fate of Medicare and the nation's healthcare overhaul are keeping health insurance companies on their toes these days. And within that new landscape, insurer Cigna said today it's managed to make a healthy profit. Last quarter, net income was up more than 50%. David Cordani is CEO of Cigna, which is one of the biggest health insurers in the country. He's live with us this morning. Hi, David.
Good morning, Steve. How are you today?
Doing well. What a quarter. What helped you get to this place?
It was a very strong quarter. The quarter is actually a continuation of a strong 2010 as we implemented our growth strategy, all focused around health and productivity improvement. And we delivered another very strong quarter, aided by great client retention, good cross-selling, and strong new adds of relationships or clients to our portfolio.
So keeping clients, customers, i.e. Lots of movement, David, on Capitol Hill to repeal parts of health care reform. Does that change how you plan for the future business environment?
Over the near term, no. We're wholly focused on being compliant with the law of the land, as well as being a good implementation partner for legislative and regulatory leaders. However, what it does underscore is that it's a very dynamic, fragile environment, and we see a lot of change in the marketplace. And inside change, we see opportunities. For example, we see a changing landscape for seniors' solutions, and that's an example of a wonderful growth opportunity as we look to the future.
You're talking Medicare and other things like that, right?
Correct, including Medicare, but not limited to Medicare.
All right. David Cordani, CEO of Cigna, thanks for joining us this morning.
Steve, thanks for your time.
All right. The Obama administration, speaking of those entitlement programs, will officially propose tomorrow a rule that would make it more difficult for states to cut Medicaid payments to doctors and hospitals. So how are states going to balance their looming Medicaid costs? From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner explains.
There are really three ways that a state can trim its budget for Medicaid, the health care program for the poor. It can kick people out of the program. It can refuse to pay for expensive benefits like transplants, cancer drugs, but that doesn't play well politically.
Who wants to be accused of rationing care? The R word is a dirty, naughty word in health care.
So Peter Ubel, who teaches health policy at Duke University, says states often rely on a third way to tame their Medicaid budgets, paying doctors less.
That just doesn't look so bad to the general public. You're just making a tough fiscal decision, and now it's up to the doctors to decide whether to care for those patients.
The problem with that is you have to pay your employees.
Jeffrey Simon is a pediatrician in Atlanta, Georgia, where Medicaid pays less than half of private insurance rates. That's a business loss for him, he says, and like other pediatricians, he no longer accepts those kids as patients.
So where do they go? They go to the emergency room, the most expensive place to receive care.
Tomorrow, the Obama administration will propose a rule that would require states to prove that lowering doctors' fees doesn't limit patients' access, and it would make the process of cutting fees more public. Jeff Smith is with the consulting firm The Lewin Group. He says states would have to
go out and survey the beneficiaries, canvass the providers, have public forums, and have a transparent process.
Bruce Greenstein is secretary of the Louisiana Department of Health and Hospitals, which runs Medicaid in that state.
This rule gives the federal government the ability to hold states hostage.
He says the federal government could stop states from cutting doctors' fees, but states still have to balance their Medicaid budget.
You would be squeezing one side of the balloon to only see the other side of the balloon expand.
In 2014, the health care law will make it a lot easier to sign up for Medicaid, and 17 million Americans without insurance are expected to enroll. And then, if states can't pay doctors less, that still leaves that dirty, naughty decision to make. Which treatments will they stop paying for? In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are down right now. The NASDAQ's pretty much flat, but the S&P down about a third of a percent. The Dow down a half a percent, 69 points, 12,654. Global markets mostly lower right now, too. Everybody responding to the government report today, the Labor Department report, that the number of people seeking first-time jobless benefits shot up by 43,000, I should say, last week. It's at an eight-month high and possibly indicative of a slowing economic recovery.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. By Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
General Motors this morning reported its highest quarterly profit in more than a decade. Not bad for a company that was bankrupt 2 years ago. How are they doing it? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
GM earned $3.2 billion in the first quarter. GM thrived even with the spike in gas prices because it was selling more small cars. Michelle Krebs is an auto analyst at Edmunds.com.
General Motors sold 25,000 Chevrolet Cruze models. That's a little car that they didn't have before. That's off the charts, and that will continue. Their biggest problem will be, can they build enough of them?
GM didn't used to make much money off of selling small cars, but it's restructured, lowering its costs. GM is also offering fewer incentives to buyers, like low-interest loans and rebates. One bit of bad news, GM didn't sell as many cars in China during the first quarter. GM says that's because the Chinese economy is cooling off a bit. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, Tupperware, meet the 21st century. The plastic storage container company, which dates back to just after World War II, 1946 to be specific, next week will significantly increase its presence on social media websites. Now, the company's always relied on less traditional advertising, such as Tupperware parties. Remember those? So it's only natural, if a little late, that the firm would venture into Facebook likes and Twitter tweets. Tupperware CEO says it's all in an effort to keep things fresh. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
That time of year again when high school seniors send in deposits to their future colleges, but what if you're still waitlisted?
It might be that what they really need is a math major who plays the oboe, and you just can't be that person.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Exciting and potentially disappointing times for college-bound students. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.